and I forgot to drink Dahlonega though. I said I got it after that meeting. They told me I blasted their ears off. Sometimes I wish we could tone down a little bit. So let's be sure it's not too heavy tonight. Now, let us pray for a moment. Our Father, we look to Thee for Thy help and blessing this evening. We thank Thee for the kindness and the loving hand we have known through the day, the great pleasure of meeting together, sharing the Word of God, and we believe hearing the Master's voice. We thank Thee for giving us words of help and advice, encouragement and counsel in these perilous times. Now, our God, we pray for Thy blessing in this meeting this evening, that our like Thee and perhaps precious souls in the audience who need Christ as their Savior need to be born again, as we've been reminded. Pray our God to speak to our hearts tonight. Pray that there might be the awe and the hush of eternity upon us, that the breath of the Lord might be felt tonight. We might come to grips, our God, with eternal realities, heaven or hell for eternity, and rejoice if we know the Lord and know that heaven's our destiny. And yet we pray for those who do not know this, that tonight their hearts may be stirred and their souls awakened to realize their need and to find that need fully and eternally met this very evening in trusting Christ as their Savior. We pray Thy help and Thy blessing, Lord. Past help and preaching will not suffice. This is a new need, a fresh need. Thou art a God, a present helper in time of need. Look down upon us, and we hear Thy voice tonight, and rejoice in seeing the blessing of God amongst us as the day closes. We pray it in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. I was very pleased when I was asked to take the meeting tonight. I was saved at a Saturday night conference meeting in the state of Connecticut. And I found Christ that night as my Savior. That was the month of March, 1923. That's quite a while ago. And I knew my need. I felt my burden. I wanted to be saved. Father and mother, two sisters were saved, going to heaven. And I was outside the fold, and that night I went to the meeting alone. I didn't know who the preachers were. It was a large audience. I sat in the back seat that night. And I heard the message. And the one gospel preacher, now with the Lord, he made a very searching, solemn statement. He said, if there's a young man in the audience tonight and you're not saved, it's possible you're on the brink of hell. And those words were directed by the Spirit of God to my soul. I can say with Job, the hours of the Almighty are within me. A sick mother was at home praying for me, a father as well. And that night I realized I'm that young man. If I leave this meeting without Christ, I may take that step into hell. The same preacher with sincere tears, not crocodile tears, went on to tell the old story, preaching the gospel from that lovely text in 1 Peter 2 and 24, to his own self, there are sins in his own body in the tree. And my heart was melted that night. I wanted Christ. I wanted to be saved. I hope there's some like that tonight. You realize your need, you'd like to be saved. And about 8:30 on that Saturday night, long ago, I saw that Christ died for me. My experience was simple, but I was lost and I needed a Savior. And I could sing, I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray, threw His loving arms around me, threw me back to His way. And that was a Saturday night conference meeting, so I always enjoy taking a Saturday night conference meeting. Little did I think that night as a lad up in the state of Connecticut that over 60 years later, I'd be preaching the gospel in Iowa, telling my simple story of how God saved me on that Saturday night meeting. So if you're not saved tonight, we hope that God will reach you and save you. And you'll start on your way to heaven. You'll have a glorious night, as we did, a glorious Lord's Day, and a glorious start to heaven. Now let us turn, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, please. A passage that is read so often, but it's old yet ever new. Luke 23, and verse 33. Luke 23 and verse 33, please. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, that is the Lord Jesus, they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and there was also with them writing, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. Verse 39, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But they that were answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the reward of our deeds, for this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto him, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Notice verse 48. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breast in return. And all his acquaintance, and the women that followed him from Galilee to the far off, beholding these things. The Lord will bless to us reading of his word. Our text tonight is found in verse 33, in six words, the place which is called Calvary. Six great words. I suppose the word Calvary is only mentioned once in the scriptures here, and when that is the case, there is a very special significance and great importance attached to that one word, Calvary, the place which is called Calvary, and that will be our theme this evening, and the Lord will take us back to the cross tonight in our meditation, in our preaching, and we trust that through the preaching of the cross, some dear soul will start for heaven. Years ago, a dear little girl was lost over in Great Britain, in the town, the district where she lived, and she had become separated from her mother, and the kindly policeman saw the little girl weeping bitterly, and he went to talk to her and tried to inquire as to where she lived, but it was blank, she didn't know just exactly the address. And finally he said to her, the policeman said to her, you know, Charing Cross is. The first time she brightened up, looking up to the kindly face of the policeman, still weeping, she said, Oh, sir, if you will take me to the cross, I will find my way home. Of course, the cross over there is an intersection, a center, an intersection. If you'll take me to the cross, I can find my way home. If we can take men and women, boys and girls to the cross, they'll find their way home. I love that hymn, I must each go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. And the lovely chorus, the way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know, as we onward go, the way of the cross leads home. We'd like to take you, friend, to the cross tonight and turn to Calvary, to the cross where Jesus died, and from that cross you'll find your way home. We've been reminded in the song tonight of the glory of Christ, the Prince, the King of glory. But that glory was by way of Calvary. We read this morning, ought not Christ to suffer these things, to enter into his glory? There is no glory for Christ apart from the cross. He must go to the cross, and the Lord went back to heaven by way of the cross, and that's how we're going to heaven. We're going to heaven by way of the cross. If we were to give a title to this chapter, we might suggest the sights and sounds of Calvary. They saw much, they saw Christ, and the sounds, the things that were said. You will have noticed perhaps three times we have that word beholding, verse 35, verse 48, and verse 49. Three times beholding that sight. So we have the sights and the sounds of Calvary, if you will, brought before us in this chapter. There are three thoughts very prominent in our portion. We see, first of all, the measure of man's sin. We see that at the cross we see our guilt and our sin. We sometimes sing the hymn, Oh, why was he there as the bearer of sin? If on Jesus my guilt was not laid, or why from his side flowed that sin-cleansing blood? If his dying, my debt, thy debt is not paid. We read our guilt in the blood that was spilt. And at the cross we see our sin and our guilt. And we sing, Oh, how vile our low estate, since our ransom was so great. If you doubt, if we doubt, we're guilty sinners, look to the cross. Why did Jesus die? Why did he suffer? Why did he endure the sorrows and the sufferings of Calvary? It was for your sins and mine, and the cross so clearly, unmistakably declares we are guilty sinners, fit for hell for eternity, but Jesus died for our sins, and our sins nailed him there, and we see the measure of our sin at Calvary. Secondly, we see the magnitude of God's love. God is love, we surely know, by the Savior's depths of all, and shining from the black background of our guilt and sin, we see the bright rays of God's love shining, and the cross goes out the love of God, that God loved the world, and God loved his Son, and we cry out tonight, the Son of God, who loved me, and gave himself for me. The measure of man's sin, of our sin, the magnitude of God's love and the means of our salvation. There is no other way. I must each go home by the way of the cross, we sing. There is no other way but this. I shall never get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. And that will be our subject tonight, the way of the cross. There are three things that are mentioned. This man, the place, and that sight. The person, and the place, and the portrait. The Son of God dying upon a cruel cross for guilty sinners in this world, guilty sinners like you and like me. In passing, let me point out this thought tonight. You'll notice our first word was the place which is called Calvary, and then in verse 43, today shall thou be with me in paradise. Calvary to paradise, and over this very chapter here, we write those words we quoted, the way of the cross leads home. In other words, if there's no Calvary in our experience, there's no paradise to come. There are many people, unfortunately, and we don't want to dwell on the negative side too much tonight. There are many folks in the world tonight, all around us, and they hope to be in paradise, but they've never been to Calvary. I'm not referring now to the geographical Calvary. Some of us have had the thrill, the joy of being there, standing in the garden tomb, and gazing upon that hill where likely the Savior died at Calvary. And we love to sing about Calvary. But the thought is, have we been there in our soul's experiences? We sing, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Now, the word starts in the Bible, but the truth is there. If there's no Calvary experience to begin with, there's no paradise experience to end with. There's no paradise without Calvary, and that's the lesson here. The way of the cross from Calvary to paradise. I wonder, have you all had, shall I call it again, the Calvary experience? You say, what do you mean? Let me illustrate. Last year, I went to visit a dear man dying in the hospital. Thank God he was saved. This man was born and raised in France with no knowledge of the gospel, no knowledge of the way of salvation. But he came to America and he got in contact with a couple in one of our assemblies, the assembly we're now in fellowship with in Philadelphia, Mr. and Mrs. Wigan, and she was born and raised in France and saved over there, and all her family saved in the place called Nancy in the country of France. And they got in touch with Albert, for that was his name, and brought him into their home and began to witness to Albert, and in the course of time, that man from France found Christ as a Savior. His eyes were open. He saw he was a guilty sinner, and he received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. I went to see him in the hospital. He was dying. The day I went to see him, he was very distressed. We heard about that this afternoon. The devil was giving him doubts. He says, Brother Gordon, do you think I'm really saved? I said, Albert, I think you are, for there's no doubt about it. Well, he says, sometimes I'm lying here, and I wonder if I'll be in heaven. And I quoted those words written long ago, in peace let me resign my breath and thy salvation see. My sins deserve eternal death, but Jesus died for me. I said, Brother Albert, can you use those words, Jesus died for me? And he smiled. He said, yes, my brother, dear brother Gordon, I can say, Jesus died for me. And a tear rolled down his cheek. And he said again, Jesus died for me. I said, Albert, that'll do. That'll take you in. It'll take you in, friend. Going out the door, I turned around to wave goodbye, and I saw those lips move, and I heard that whisper, for he's very weak, just as I left the door, Jesus died for me. I went back the next week for my last visit. I said, Albert, how is it with your soul today? But I knew the end was drawing near. Oh, Brother Gordon, he says, it's well, it's all right, Jesus died for me. And going out the door, for the last time, as last I saw him, again I turned, I heard those faint words, from the lips of the dying man, Jesus died for me. I'll tell you, friend, it was not hard to take that funeral. I'll tell you, that'll take you in. I was a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. You see what I mean? That was the Calvary experience. He'd been to the cross in his soul's experience. It isn't just believing a verse in the Bible. Those souls are saved through the verse, through the Christ in that verse. I found Christ through 1 Peter 2 and 24. To his own self bear our sins in his own body in the tree. But it's more than just the verse itself, it's the Christ in the verse. It's Christ as our personal Savior. Many years ago, we were preaching the gospel in the city of Toronto, and the meeting continued for 6 weeks. That's almost impossible today, but it used to be the case in those days. We went on for several weeks as God was working. And we tried not to close the meetings as long as God was working, for we had no schedule in those days. We just went to a place to preach and stayed as long as souls were getting saved. And souls, a few souls were getting saved. There was a dear young lady one night, and as we went to the door to bid farewell to the folks, she came rushing out, weeping bitterly. She said, "Can I see you men downstairs? The place prepared for an interview, we suggest Lillian will be down." Oh, she burst out, she says, "I'm not saved." I said, "Lillian, we know that's not true. We know you're saved." She was in the assembly. She was teaching a Sunday school class. A very lovely girl. You couldn't find fault with her life on the exterior. He said, "Lillian, you're just getting upset. Now you're seeing others getting saved, and you think you didn't have that same experience, and you think you're not saved." He says, "My dear man, there's no use. I've known for a long time I didn't have Christ." We said, "Lillian, now tell us what happened when you professed to be saved." Well, she says, "We were having meetings. And one night the preacher said, if any of you folks want to be saved, stay behind." And there's nothing wrong with that. If souls are anxious, we don't press them beyond the Spirit of God. That's dangerous. But if souls are anxious, there's nothing wrong with inviting them to remain for a conversation. And what happened in Lillian? Well, she says, he got a number of us in the room. And he said to each one of us, "Look at myself." He quoted the verse. And he said to me, "Do you believe that?" She said, "Yes." He says, "Go out and tell your mother you're saved." No, I would never tell that. I never told myself I was saved. The Lord told me through His Word. He says, "Lillian, is that all you have?" He says, "That's all." But anyway, we said, "Well, maybe you should go home and think it over," and so on. She said, "I don't want to go home until I have the real thing tonight." And we tried every verse we could think of to no avail. And finally, just at the end, we thought, "We'll have to leave now." We read that verse from Ephesians chapter 1. Whom you believe the gospel of your salvation. The gospel of your salvation. Lillian, what is the gospel? We said, the gospel is that Christ died. It was very moving again. Did he die for you? Yes. What does this verse say? The gospel of your salvation. She jumped from her seat. She said, "I see it now. It's my salvation. Christ died for me. It's my salvation." And God saved her that night. Later on, a year later, we met her. We said, "Lillian, what is the difference between what you have now and what you had before?" She said, "Before you only had a verse. Now I have Christ." That's good. Now don't misunderstand me. Souls are led to Christ through a verse, but it's not the verse itself. When the people in the wilderness were dying, Moses put a serpent on the pole. It wasn't the pole that saved them, but the pole held up the serpent. That was the serpent. The serpent is Christ. The pole was like the verse that upholds Christ. She says, "Before I just had a verse. Now I have Christ." She's raised her family for God, married since, and seen all their children saved. Do we all have Christ tonight? Can we say, "I have Christ in my heart, Christ in my soul"? Have we been to the cross? Have we been to Calvary? Was that our beginning, the beginning of our Christian life? We sing together, at the cross, when I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Few thoughts about the place which is called Calvary, and don't be alarmed, we'll be through in good time tonight. The place called Calvary is a place of God's divine design. There was no accident that Christ died at Calvary. It wasn't just the case when the wrath of his enemies reached its peak, they took him out where the other criminals were put to death upon Golgotha's brow, and he was put to death there. Calvary was planned by God before the world began. Before there was a sun or a moon or a star. Before the pendulum of time began to tick. In the beginning, there was in God's very bosom a lamb. 1 Peter 1, the lamb foreordained before the foundation of the world. Yes, I love that beautiful hymn, "Before thy hand had made the sun to rule the day, or earth's foundation laid, or fashioned Adam's clay, what thoughts of peace and mercy flowed in thy great heart of love, O God." Calvary was planned before the world began, before there was a sin or a fall, there was, in the mind of God, a cross. There was Calvary there. When Abraham began to take his son up to the mount, they saw the place afar off. And God and his only son, his beloved son, saw that place afar off. And one day the Son of God came down from the glory, and without ceasing to be God, he became man. There was positively no abdication of his eternal glory and deity in the assumption of his holy humanity. And he stepped down from the glory, down to this earth of sin and sorrow. Down from the glory we sing, "My Savior came." Glory to his name. The Son of God who loved us, he came down from heaven. He left his Father's throne above to reveal God's wondrous love. And finally at Calvary to open the fountain for sin. Well, that was planned by God way back in eternity. And not only the place of design, but the place of Christ's devotion. He could say, here am I, send me. The Lord knew before he left heaven all that was involved. The sorrow and the suffering. He knew he would be unwelcome when he arrived in this world. When we left home yesterday morning, left Philadelphia to come out here to Wyoming, we knew we would be warmly received. We would never have left home if we thought otherwise. And we have not been disappointed in the warm reception we have enjoyed here in Davenport. But the Lord knew it was otherwise. He knew he would not be received warmly and readily. He knew as soon as he came to the world, there would be enemies to destroy him and devour him and put him to death. But wonder of wonders, he came to accomplish redemption, to do the will of God, to satisfy God's claim, to open the door to heaven, and to die for guilty sinners like you and like me. Was it for me? For me alone, the Savior left his glorious throne, the dazzling splendors of the sky. Was it for me? He came to die. Oh, I love that hymn. It was for me. He was all for me. Oh, love of God, so rich, so free. Oh, wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me, my Lord and King. And so it was his devotion. Brought him down from heaven. Here am I, send me. And down he came, born of a virgin. Traversed the sea below as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And ended that journey to a place called Calvary, where he died for guilty sinners like you and like me. Calvary was the place of desertion. You say, why? The Lord cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was deserted. Mr. Bonner wrote those words. 3 hours the land was wrapped in gloom. 3 hours the city saw no sun. 3 hours blank fear was in each face. It seemed as if Earth's day was done. 3 hours in that mysterious cloud that blotted out the noonday sun. The face of God's dear Son was hid. Only the ear could hear his groan. But he wrote these words, most wondrous hours in which was done the greatest deed ere done below. The deed in which all heaven was joined. It saves us from the endless woe. He was left alone to die. There was a darkness over all the scene. At noonday, when the sun would have been shining in its great meridian splendor, lo, at noon, to sudden night, darkness covered all the sight. The Holy One did hide his face, we sing, O Christ, was hid from thee. Left alone to die in darkness, to bring us into the city of eternal light, and save us from eternal darkness, forsaken, deserted, abandoned, at Calvary. The place called Calvary, you know, is the place of decision. We sit in a meeting like this, we hear the story of the cross. We hear about Jesus. We heard how he suffered, we hear how he suffered and died for guilty sinners. But what does it mean to our heart tonight? Have you made Christ your choice? It'll do you no good to hear about the cross, friend, if you don't receive Christ. In fact, it'll be otherwise. If you hear the story of Calvary and don't receive Christ, it'll be a terrible day for you to stand before him in judgment. You know the great white throne, who is on the throne? It's the Lamb, the throne of God and the Lamb. And the last sight sinners will get, ere being consigned to the eternal lake of fire, is the sight of the Lamb. There he sits beside a stranger, till he bears the marks of love. Oh, that I had thought his favor, when I felt the Spirit move. We must make our choice at Calvary. There are two men died with Christ. One received him, and the other rejected him. My friend, what have you done with Christ? Think of this moment of a scene years ago. During the war years, World War years, we were living and serving the Lord in North Carolina. We rented a big garage building in Winston-Salem and got some seats from the city and put some lights in and began some meetings there, gospel services. And in the earlier days, it seemed that God was pleased to work. Perhaps we saw more done then than we're seeing now. It seems a few perhaps are getting saved now. Thank God we're all getting saved. One night we're preaching on Calvary. I don't know what our text was that night. We hadn't been speaking long when I heard someone sobbing in the audience, bitterly sobbing. The lighting wasn't good, but it came from the right rear corner of that large garage building we had fixed up for the purpose. Without going to the door as usual to speak to our friends and say goodnight, I went to the right rear corner of the building and saw a young lady in her late teens still sobbing as though her heart would break. She had literally soaked 3 handkerchiefs. Tears don't save, but I'll tell you, friends, it's nice to see tears when souls are awakened and want to get saved and are afraid of going down to hell. I said, without waiting for introduction, my friend, can I help you? She sobbed out, I hope you can. I said, what is wrong, though? I was quite sure I knew. Oh, sir, she said, when I was a child, you children take this in. I went to Sunday school. I heard about Jesus. I heard about the cross. But, she says, never until tonight did I realize that Christ suffered all that for me. Your very heart was broke. Oh, she said, what will I do? We sat down with the Word of God and read Scripture after Scripture. And we read Scriptures about the cross. We entered into Isaiah 53. Another verse is taking us to Calvary. For we always take sinners to Calvary. If we can get them to the cross, they'll find their way home. Finally, still weeping. Her tears were changed to tears of joy. Oh, then she says, if the Lord suffered all that for me, the least I can do is trust Him as my Savior. I said, do you mean that? And will you do it? And when will you do it? She said, I'll do it right now. I said, do you really mean that? Calling her by name. She said, I never meant anything more. We get on our knees and thank God for His wondrous salvation. And that dear young lady went on well for God and for all her family circles saved. You see, that night, as you heard the story of Calvary, she made her choice. Friend, have you made your choice for Christ and for heaven? Your opportunity is coming to an end someday. I felt that way the night God saved me long ago. If I didn't get saved that night, I might miss it for eternity. Perhaps God is speaking to some hearts in this audience tonight, children, older friends. The Spirit of God is dealing tonight. You know you should be saved. We sing, Jesus is pleading with my poor heart, knocking at my poor heart. Shall I be saved tonight? If I reject Him, He may depart. Shall I be saved tonight? Over and over, His voice I hear, sweetly it sounds in my listening ear. Can I reject Him, a friend so dear? Shall I be saved tonight? What about tonight, friend? We're not going to ask for a hand or for your coming to the front. But have you made your choice for Christ tonight? Is Christ your Savior? If not, Calvary is the place of decision. In the light of that cross where Jesus died, trust Him as your Savior. Why think of Christ dying on that cross? What a scene. You know, they nailed the Lord Jesus to that tree and lifted Him up. When I was a boy, we often sang that hymn, Hark, I hear the bell blow, of the hammer swung low, they're nailing my Lord to the tree, and the cross they upraised, as the multitude gazed on the blessed Lamb of dark Calvary. And the darkness came down, and the rocks went around, and the cry pierced the grief laid in air, was the voice of a king, who received death's dark sting, all to save us from endless despair. And they took the Son of God, you know, nailed Him to the cross, lifted up that cross, put into a sock in the ground with a heart-sickening thud, till every bone in His blessed body without a joint. And there He died, a king crucified, to save a poor sinner like me. Oh, dear soul, as we preach Christ crucified and point your soul to Calvary tonight, bow His very presence. Maybe there's a soul here tonight, and you want to be saved. You want to meet us in heaven. You want to go to heaven with mother and dad as I wanted to do. Make that great choice. He's waiting. That high heaven might hear that, Simon. This is in your very heart tonight. Christ for me. Why reject Him, that one who died for you? Calvary is the place of decision. What will your choice be tonight? What will you do with Jesus? What will the answer be? We don't want to be sentimental or alarming unduly. But one of these nights you're going to make your choice for the last time. It could be tonight. The Lord is coming. He may be here before the Lord's Day morning. We want to meet you in heaven. What will your answer be? It's receiving or rejecting. It can't be neutral. You're going out that door tonight receiving Christ or rejecting Christ. What is it going to be? God grant, in the quietness of the hour, you may receive Christ as your Savior. And tell us, as I did the preacher that night, thank God I got saved about 8:30 on that Saturday night. I received Christ's place of deliverance. If you trust Christ, He'll deliver you from your fear and your bondage and your misery and your penalty. The passion and power of sin, the Lord will deliver you. You'll have a sweet deliverance. What a wonderful change you'll see in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. If you receive Christ tonight, dear soul, boy or girl, man or woman, be a great change, a great deliverance. Calvary is the place of destiny. There were two men dying each side of Christ. One started to heaven from the cross. I want to make a statement to my question. One started down to hell from the cross. He rejected Christ. I was lost. The other was saved. Destiny is determined by decision. And your choice tonight, dear soul, may determine your heaven or hell for eternity. And there are some souls in this very audience tonight. You may be making your final choice. It's real. It's searching. It's solemn. We speak lovingly and yet solemnly. What will your answer be? May it be Christ for me. But you know, just in closing, Calvary is a place of dedication. Maybe some of you tonight, some of you young folks, and you have received Christ, thank God for that. We're glad to hear it. Maybe you've never dedicated your life to Him. We owe our all to Him who gave us all for us. The cross we bow before Him, and say, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Lord, all that I have and am is thine. Redeem with thy blood one day. Oh, take every bit of this life of mine and make it thine own, I pray. I love thee, my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I'm glad thee, my all. To thy cross, to thy feet I bring. If you're saved tonight, oh, you might know this, to give your life to him who gave his life for you. And give your best to Christ. And dedicate your life and your time and your talents to him who loves you unto death. The cross is the place of dedication. The place which is called Calvary. Place of divine and eternal design. Place of Christ's undying devotion. Place of desertion where Christ was left alone to save us. The place of decision. Place of eternal deliverance. Place of destiny. Place of dedication. Place which is called Calvary. As we close and pray, dear soul, we plead with you earnestly, lovingly. If you haven't had the Calvary experience, Christ is not your Savior. Bow your very heart tonight, and as we pray, receive Christ as your Savior. Look to the cross where he died. Make your choice tonight. Christ will be, you'll never regret it. I made that choice over 60 years ago. Not once have I regretted it. I will praise God for his Son, for Calvary, for all eternity. Friend, we're just passing through your town, your city. We want to meet you in heaven. I would feel very badly if there's one soul or other tonight, and we're going to miss you in heaven. Make Christ your choice. Take him as your Savior. Do it tonight like the young lady down in Easton Salem. The faith which is called Calvary. Receive Christ. And start for heaven and home tonight. God grant it. For his name's sake, shall we pray. Our Father, bless thy word to our hearts tonight. How true it is to hear the story of Calvary. We who know it and love it best are hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. We love to get back to Calvary where the Savior died and cry out, gazing in wonder, I there exclaim, Jesus died for me. We thank for all the audience tonight who have had the Calvary experience, who have been in their souls the experience of the cross, and have seen the Lamb of God dying and bleeding in their place on the cross, and they're saved and going to heaven. And forever we're going to sing about Calvary, sing about the Lamb as the Lamb that was slain. There may be a boy or a girl, a young man or young woman tonight, and they're not saved, as they sit here tonight, and they're exposed to wrath and danger. Time is passing quick, very quickly. The sands are running through the glass. Soon there'll be eternity for all of us. O God, in the light of heaven and hell, light of eternity, in the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the breath of God upon us, realizing the solemn all hush of eternity, we pray as we close this meeting, our God, O Lord, there'll be no levity or lightness in view of these solemn things. The precious souls will make that great choice tonight at Calvary and receive Christ. And from the place which is called Calvary, reach the law of the Savior, the place which is called Paradise, sing his praise forever. Grant thy blessing upon us. Close us with thy blessing, we pray. In our Lord Jesus' precious name. Could we sing one or two verses of that hymn? Oh, I'm not usurping tonight. Just as I am, without one tree, please. Thank you.
have one more word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for this evening, and for what you've taught us from your word. We pray now that you might give us safety as we go home, and that you might bring us back tomorrow to learn more. Strengthen our bodies tonight, and help us to be ready for the day. We'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.